Paul McLaughlin of Ballagher Garden Centre is back in studio with us a little later on, talking all things gardens, grass, hedges, trees, fruit, veg, anything you want to talk about that grows effectively in your garden, your field, or your in your cupboard, or on your windowsill, or on your little porch, wherever. You don't have to have a big lawn to get those fingers green. You can splash a bit of colour into your house or flat or apartment. Any questions for Paul McLaughlin? We'll have a general chit-chat, of course, given the time of year. But if you've got any questions for him, 086 60 25,000. If you get them in now, it makes means I can guarantee you that we get an answer for you. That's coming up in about an hour. A caller says, I can't believe Highland Radio has given that troublemaker Jamie Bryson airplay, in the process increasing his bigoted views and possibly adding to his atrocious views. Nothing is achieved. Nothing is achieved, though, in silencing others. Let's have a conversation about what he said. So is NECAP, the funny thing is if traveling through the north recently, if you see Republican, the tricolour, you often see flying beside it Palestinian flags. And I did note as well, if you see the Union Jack flying, that you tend to see Israeli flags flying. So I don't know how those marriages formed, but anyway, but not platforming someone doesn't achieve anything, really, because let's have a conversation about what he said. Is putting a boat of people fleeing war or persecution on top of a bonfire and setting it on fire, is that the same as NECAP, who doesn't represent NECAP doesn't represent me, by the way? Is it that NECAP is seen to represent Catholics or Republicans or what have you? I don't even know their music. I'm not sure if I ever listened to one of their songs the whole way through. I don't feel they represent me anyway. And it's not that I'm against what they're saying. It's just they're a different generation. I wouldn't know much about them at all. But is it the same, them sort of saying the stuff that they said on stage, is that the equivalent to putting a boat on top of a bonfire and setting it on fire? I mean, it's worthy of a conversation. Is it the same or is it not the same? If so, why not? Or if so, why? And if not, why not? You know, that sort of a way. So I'm not a big fan of shutting people up. I know Jamie Bryson, what mandate does he have either? He's not elected. I don't know. I'm sure not every person in the loyalist community or Protestant, for that matter, there's often the crossover, obviously that's why I say that, believes that he speaks for them either, so I don't know. Hi Greg, can we all get behind Donegal this weekend? We are. Let's make a big push to get colours up around the towns and houses. Sunday will be a massive day for the county. The pride they have restored to the county is unbelievable. Let's give them everything we've got and make a lot of noise in Croke Park. I'm so scared for Sunday. I don't know how it's going to go. I know in my heart and my head, but then again, we're going to win, aren't we? Can you let us know? 086 60 25,000. Are we going to win? Are Tyrone going to win it as well? There's two cracking games. Really looking forward to the weekend. Who's going to win the games? Let us know. 086 60 25,000. Just reassure me Donegal are going to get into an All-Ireland final. That's what I'm looking for. Hi, I'm listening to Greg talking about an elderly person having money taken out of his account by a relative. If the person couldn't give evidence because of his dementia, neither could he give consent to have his funds taken by anyone. Well, one sort of we know for a fact. The other, there's ambiguity, and that is why the approach would be for CAB to get involved and question, well, how come you've got so much money going through your account now? Where did you get that money? And sort of work back the way in the case, because there is an anomaly there or a loophole. And as I say, I'm convinced that there's not a townland or a village in this county, let's just use our area, whereby there hasn't been an older person who someone did a bit of care for them, maybe in their later life, ended up with a field or all of their property or all of their land. We'd probably know that more than if they ended up with all of their money, you know, because people put themselves in a position of trust and then they exploit that. That's what happens. And I would say it happens an awful lot. But the problem is it's very clear that a person with dementia can't give evidence. It's harder to prove that they were exploited and that funds were taken from them, and that's why Cab might be involved to sort of work back the way. That woman wants two teachers for 10 students, says a listener. Absolutely ridiculous. There are schools out there struggling with huge numbers per teacher, and they're complaining about the teacher for 7 students. Talk about a waste of money. Is there any more staff at this school, as secretary, teachers, assistants, etc.? No, believes it's madness. Give us a counter-argument to that to 086 60 25,000. And just before we get the potentially big jackpot winning numbers, the Port Salon Horse and Pony Race is taking place this Saturday. The first race off at 4 o'clock. A special shout out to the 4 local riders, Tiernan McGill, Leah McGee, Brody Ferry and Ben Leckie. Proceeds in aid of the Donegal Hospice. Lots going on this weekend. There's that big tractor run in Termin at the Lagoon. What else is happening? Let us know what's happening across the region, by the way. Is there something exciting happening in your area? 086 60 25,000. Hopefully we're all healthy and fit enough to get out and enjoy it, if we can, if we do get good weather. A soft reminder just of the dangers of our open waters, the sea, the rivers and the lakes, or if there's water in quarries or what have you. The first thing we're going to do as soon as that mercury hits 25 is want to get in the water and have fun, and we should do that, but just do it safely. Please do it safely and do what I'm going to do, hopefully, and have that conversation to the house, in the house, to make sure everyone has fun but does so in a safe manner. We shouldn't be scared, just respectful. I don't think we should be so scared of stuff that we don't do it. Have fun, get in there, jump off that pier, go swimming in the sea, just make sure it's safe to do so. Does that make sense? And we can all have great fun and come out of the weekend full of the joys of spring, I was going to say, but summer. All right, good luck if you're playing the bingo today. As I say, it is jackpot day. Here are the numbers. Okay, so we know we're going to get a blast of good weather, but what often happens is that people sort of read a newspaper article or a bit of a clickbait link that talks about what it's going to be like in the hottest or brightest part of the country, and then say, that's what it's going to be like everywhere. Well, let's find out exactly what it's going to be like here in our region in the Northwest. Kenneth Conlon, founder of the Donegal Weather Channel. Kenneth, good morning to you. So what can we expect over the next couple of days?
More Greg, the weather's set to pick up, as you can see there this morning. It's that bit warmer. As the day goes on, sunshine should develop, with temperatures up into around the mid-20s. But then tomorrow's actually looking even warmer again, with temperatures up around 25, 26, 27 degrees. And then when we come into Saturday, it's looking to be very warm. Temperatures might even locally in some places hit 30 Celsius in places. But Sunday then again is looking very warm, but there is a potential that we might see thunderstorms developing through the afternoon and evening. There is some uncertainty on this yet, there is a high chance there of some very active thunderstorms. And it's also going to be very warm as well, with temperatures into the mid-20s again there on Sunday.
All right, what would lead us to this uncertainty on Sunday? I've heard that a lot all week. Why is Sunday less predictable?
Well, with Sunday at the minute, it's more so to see if the thunderstorms actually do manage to develop. So there's some of the forecasting models showing that the thunderstorms will develop. Some show that they don't, that they keep the kind of, I suppose, the rain and all off to the west of the coast. But from what I'm reviewing here this morning, there is a high potential of thunderstorms to develop through Sunday, especially across the northwest region. And there could be a few weather warnings with them thunderstorms as well.
All right. Any indications about next week? Is this just a short shot of summer, Kenneth?
But early next week, we're probably looking at maybe a little bit more unsettled conditions. There could be quite a few days through next week, because there is some low pressure systems due to move in off Atlantic. But there is some signals maybe for later next week and the next weekend. Again, the conditions might become that bit drier again. And I'm seeing signs here as well that it might pick up again towards the end of the month again.
Lovely stuff, Kenneth. Thanks so very much indeed. Kenneth Conlon, you can check him out on the Donegal Weather Channel on social media. The organisers of a GEA trip for Palestinian children say they're devastated to see their visas have been rejected. GEA Palestine says their applications were turned down by the Irish Immigration Service due to insufficient documentation. They contest that any documentation that was sought from them was given. 47 people from the West Bank, including 33 children, were due to arrive here for the visit next week. Now, as you mentioned, Brendan Devaney was on with us on Monday, and I did understand that he was involved in this, and he sort of gave us a brief outline. Because that's all there was at that time. That some of this group were going to come to Donegal and stuff was being put on, etc. Brendan's back with us again. Brendan, thanks for joining us. Incredibly disappointed, I would imagine, by this news. It is going to be appealed, but this is where we're at the moment. I can't hear you, Brendan. I wonder, is that a me problem or a you problem? I wonder, let's see if, just to, so I can check the line. Cathal O'Galeen is there. Good morning, Cathal. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah. We'll get to Brendan in a second. Your liaison officer for Motes Sazor GEA camp in the West Bank. I hope I've pronounced that correctly.
Yeah, Motes Sazor, yes.
Lovely stuff, Cathal. So what has led to this refusal of visas?
Well, I think what we've dealt with from day dot is a complete bad faith acting from the Irish embassy in terms of submission of documents, us having to chase them for confirmation, things like this. And as they say in the letters we received, and as has been made public now, the documentation they required and they say we didn't give is complete fabrication, to be honest. Part of it was in terms of detailed itineraries weren't given. We have a fully detailed itinerary down to the hour, which is handed over to them. Parts of it was about child safeguarding. We're involved with the GAA and the World Council. The GAA have been massively supportive of us and quite rightly had emphasised how important child safeguarding is. We've taken that quite to heart because, of course, we're doing this for children, you know. So every host family is completely guard and vetted. Myself, completely up to scratch in terms of even the GAA's own child safeguarding measures, legal child safeguarding measures, as are all members. So again, complete fabrication. And I think what's actually most disgusting is that part of the reason that they give was there was no adequate guarantee that these people would return and not stay in Ireland. These people live in a refugee camp. They're expelled from their homes in 1948. So for 77 years, they stayed in their land despite all the killing, despite the intifadas, despite the kidnaps, despite the demolitions. Because they believe in their land, they will return to their land. So to say that they're not going to return is beyond insulting, if I'm totally honest with you, and completely... I don't know how to put this politely. Just shows a clear lack of understanding of who you're dealing with.
Yeah, you say, or it's been said, that this is a political decision. Who's pulling the strings? What is the decision here? How would this... why would there be any political involvement in this? A group of kids and their carers coming over and experiencing Irish culture and the GEA, etc.?
Well, I think it's just for a number of reasons, because I think it's quite important. I was on the phone to one of the members in Ramallah last night, and he was saying, you know, when we're watching the TV and we see our children in Gaza getting killed, and this is very difficult for us, and we see the Europeans watch them and let our children in Gaza get killed, and this is very difficult to us. But we know the Irish people are with us. Everyone is in the street, the Irish people, but they stand with us. And I think, obviously, bringing this kind of connection to another level, another facet in terms of our native games, which they've embraced wholeheartedly, calling the freedom sport, you know, I think it quite frankly terrifies people who support the Zionist cause and the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians. And look, obviously, we've seen from the four Fine Gael MEPs and three of the four Fianna Fáil MEPs, they're going to continue to back Ursula von der Leyen, who has completely overstepped her mark to support this genocide in Palestine. So I think it's quite clear that showing solidarity and being able to have Palestinian kids make connection with Irish kids and embrace this culture is something that quite frankly terrifies them, and something they believe cannot be let happen.
I'll come back to you. Brendan is with us now. Brendan, sorry about that. Obviously, you were in... In organising mode to welcome these children to the county. It's disappointing, to say the least.
Oh, listen, Greg, it's shocking. I mean, it's very well highlighted there. Cal spoke so well about the bit of history and the nonsense around this. I mean, when you look at visa, it's a Stanford visa that's needed here. It's special permission that our government can grant. Now, if you even look at the situation there with the children in Gaza that were seriously ill, that were coming to Ireland for treatment, you know, there was a row then between our own, you know, Department of Health and our Department of Justice. They're our own departments. They're our own people. They have a row with each other over these kids. These 30 kids are supposed to come. 12 of them didn't make it. And then about 6 or 7 of them died in between times. And it's just shocking to think that we would have some bureaucracy in there. Now, where's that bureaucracy coming from? It's only come from one place, Greg. You know, for years, you know, people had some kind of political ideologies. Now, there's no such thing anymore. Politics is about one thing. It's about money. It's about getting re-elected. And the evil agents of Israel have their claws in so many places. Now, it's so obvious where they are around the world with APAC and the millions that they pump in to all these countries, particularly America, UK, Germany, France, etc. But here in Ireland, you know, we're supposed to stand alone. We're supposed to stand with the persecuted. If you don't stand with the persecuted, you stand for nothing, in my view. So the fact that this is even a question is absolutely ridiculous. Now, there's certain people in our government that are being leaned on for different reasons by Israelis, and they've been backing it up, and they've been using their influence now to put spanners in the works. So we have good people here, and they're trying, but there's other people coming in and trying to block off a trip like this. And as Calvin
said, is there any weight to the argument that perhaps the full trip everywhere they were going to be at all given times wasn't necessarily available? So in other words, that they, to the letter of the law, couldn't be assured that no harm could come to the children?
Yeah, Greg, if you look at what's going to come behind this now, the way these kids would have been received, you know, there's a film crew with them, they had minders, and everywhere they went, there was people. I mean, when the lads there come on to me, and they've set all this up, as I said to you Monday, I'm honoured to even be asked to do something here. This could be a life-changing, this would be a life-changing moment for these kids. So everywhere they went, Greg, there's going to be a massive amount of people around them trying to help them, safeguard them, show them some kind of experience, show them our culture, show them we stand with them. So there's not an opportunity for this, nothing, to be other than a brilliant experience. Yeah. I mean, Greg, take it like this, Crow Park All Ireland final day. These kids are going to be received, going to come out in the pitch at halftime, 82,000. Can you imagine the welcome? Can you imagine the outpouring of love and emotion that will be in that after all the horrors that we're seeing that's happening out there in the Gaza, continue happening in the West Bank, that we at least could do this gesture for them? And now, of course, it's caught in bureaucracy, and that bureaucracy is tied up in money and in the influence of Israel.
Well, just if I could jump in there as well, even just you mentioned about the itinerary, and I think that's a fair question, but like, look, I think it says it all. If you go on our social medias, you can find the itinerary yourself, Greg, and unless they can find the itinerary themselves. The department had all this, it was completely detailed. This was a complete nonsense issue they've raised.
So, given everything then that was, I mean, then those that support the Israeli government then perhaps maybe could have seen this as a some sort of a Palestinian propaganda piece then. So is that why they might have been so up in arms to try and block it? Is that your working theory, Cal? Well, I'm not saying that was the motivation for the trip. I'm just saying
with camera crews there and all that,
82,000 people, the imagery, how it might have looked and how it might have played on an international stage.
Yes, no, I totally understand. But in terms of, like, you talk about, you know, propaganda, like, but, like, if you're doing anything, you're putting any sort of idea, someone's going to call that propaganda, you know? And what we are aiming to do is show Ireland and to show the world that these children are children like any other. They deserve, because they all grew up, frankly, in horrific conditions where trauma and fear is a part of everyday life. And to show people, these are kids that just be like me and you. Like, I was there in January and meeting these children, and they're unbelievable, hearts of gold. And I think you're absolutely bang on there in terms of this can't be seen, because we hear all the absolute, frankly, racist ideas that get put out about, you know, like we heard from Isaac Herzog or people in the Israeli government that, you know, every child, that's a terrorist in waiting. Like, people said the exact same about us. I'm based in Scotland now. The exact same thing was said about us. You can't let us over because we're all IRA men. It's the exact same thing. So, yeah, I think that's definitely a massive part of it, in terms of you can't let these people be seen to be human or to be seen to be like me and you.
Yeah, that's what I was going to put to Brendan next. You know, this human, the one thing about sort of the media coverage of something or seeing the pictures on the TV, you see it every day. You know, you see a child in rubble, you're covered in dust, and you know that image of the blood through the dust, but you see that all of the time. And I wonder, does there come a point where it's a picture and not a person? And the danger with this initiative is that it does put a human face to what's happening there, Brendan. That it does show that these are people, that they are kids, and I think maybe that if there were efforts to quell that, that would probably be the reason why, that, you know, you would see the face of the children that are just pictures or videos.
Yeah, well, listen, the social media and the media general narrative battle that's going on here is absolutely crazy. And again, it just goes back to the same things as politics. It goes back to money and influence and who's controlling it. Now, in media terms, and I'm obviously talking about yourselves, Greg, because Highland have been great and you're always very fair in your show, but national medias are completely bought and been screwed and been told so many lies. But if you look at social media and you look at people sharing images and sharing videos and what's come out of Gaza and what's coming out of the truth about the West Bank, and if you look at the masses, right, look at Glastonbury the other week in terms of the outpouring of emotion, and look at everywhere where there is a coming together in support of these people, it's completely against the political will. So the masses now are calling for action, they're calling for help, and they're calling to end genocide, they're calling to help these people out. But yeah, yet at a political level,
I just want a theory in relation to this, right? People, issues like this become politicized. So, in other words, if you support a certain individual or you are of a certain background, you will be pro-Israel, anti-Palestine. And then if you are on the other side and you follow a certain political party or whatever, you will be pro-Israel. But they're the two extremes. And I think in places like Glastonbury, what you actually see is the majority that think for themselves, right, that they're not following an ideology or they're not following an individual or a political movement or a person or aren't ardent in a certain religion or whatever it might be. And I think sometimes what you see in Glastonbury is what you don't see in the media. It's just normal people who judge each situation for themselves. They're not on Twitter, they're not on X, they're not on whatever, and they say, what's happening is not right. You know, now, of course, the fact that the guy in question started talking about death to the IDF doesn't help anyone's cause, I don't think, or saying murder your MPs, that's the problem, right? But if you strip that back and you look at the natural reaction to just the middle ground, Brendan, you know, their voices arguably aren't being represented.
Yeah, I mean, hysteria over a comment about a genocidal army, you know, it just shows you how things are so stupid in this world.
And well, you can't say that, Brendan, because that's like saying hysteria over a boat on top of a bonfire in Northern Ireland. Just forget that too.
Let's analyse it, right? Death to IDF means death to IDF, doesn't mean death to each soldier.
No, he said death to soldiers.
Well, here's my take on that. He meant that army needs to be disbanded. Mm.
But no, I know what, that. No, but he so, did. I saw a subsequent video
well,
where
right,
he...
No, no harm, right?
He referenced army, soldiers.
Right? You tell me how you train soldiers to shoot children, right? Shoot them in the head and shoot them in the heart. Absolutely key snipers, trained to the last, and you train them, right? So you hand me a gun, you tell me, go and shoot that child. Mm. If I had one bullet, it was me or the child, I'll take the bloody bullet. Mm. And I wouldn't even know that child. The fact that we are breeding monsters like that, that they are so indoctrinated into that type of evil, is what's creating this outpouring of grief from us. Yet our political establishment are not behind it. Now, Ireland is probably one of the best, but they're still not doing enough. So how can we get blocked from trying to do this gesture? And you say, this is all about politicising, about not allowing the West Bank and the Palestinian kids to be human. And that's what they're going to be when they're here. And that's what they're trying to block.
Yeah.
I could interject quickly. I think you make a very good point there, Greg, about, you know, seeing people in Glastonbury talk about regular people. Like, right? As someone who's on the street and part of the movement over here, you know, and Britain, you know, the Imperial Heartland, it is ordinary people and, like, it's people with humanity, because, as you say, when you see the image of a child covered in dust with blood coming from their hair, how could you not be moved? Like, if you listen to Palestinian political factors and actors or civil society, when they talk to us in the West, they speak the way they call it, they announce their addresses to the free people of the world. So that's what we are, the free people of the world. And that's exactly what it is. You know, it's not about being pro this or pro that. You know, I'm pro humanity. I'm pro-freedom.
Well, the way I look at it is this,
whether it's home or abroad, and this is what this project is a part of.
Of course.
Of making this connection of freedom and sport and cultural institutions between two people.
Like, you know, when you talk about what's happening in Gaza or what have you, this conversation, it's always the same. It's like, you know, October 7th, and then people say, well, it didn't start on October 7th, and then people go back to the 70s and the 50s and all. But there's no... as soon as people have that... I'm seeing you know, thousands upon thousands of kids being blown to pieces. And not even to talk of those that survive, what kind of post-traumatic stress that we have. You know, kids dying because they can't get access to formula. Like, I am not in... That is, in and of itself, should be enough for the world to say, I don't care when it started, who's responsible, this has to stop. This has to stop, and discuss the other stuff around a table or whatever it might be. But, Brendan, the fact that people try and justify what's happening to these women, children and men as well. I mean, we always talk about women and children. If it was my two youngest boys, for an example, well, there's only one now that wouldn't be a fighting age. Boys as well. Like, you know, timelining it, forget, that's very, very important. But let's just stop what's happening at the moment. Starving people to death, herding them into certain areas, blowing them to bits, blowing tents up left, right and centre. That should be enough of in itself to stop the convo, but stop that. What's happening there, and then let's address everything else down the line somewhere or in parallel, Brendan.
Yeah, but Greg, you're thinking about it as a decent human being, which is not what's happening. You know, this is the evil that's been brought there, but I'm just saying about the IDF and about the Zionism and about how they've taken control. They obviously have completely manipulated and brainwashed these people. How could you get to be so evil? How could you get to consider another human being as not a human being? So, you know, that's your starting point out there. So the only way we can influence that, because it's not going to happen from within that country. That country now, to me, you know, what's going on in there is just, it's evil to a point where you can't find words for it. So the only pressure we can put on them is from the outside. Now, what have they done to the outside? They have corrupted the outside. So the only will now that we do have is the will of the people to get on their establishments, and whoever's in political power, they put pressure on them. And this is Ireland, Greg, and I was saying to the lads in the group, you know, we all live together, we're close, we're not city-based. We know we're politicians, we know we're people, they live beside us, and if we got to put the heat on them, we got to make sure that they're responsible and they're acting and they're doing what the people want. Because at this point, Greg, anything we can do in terms of helping out is the very minimum that we can do while these people are living in hell.
Brendan Devaney, listen, thank you very much for your time. We'll chat again soon. Cathal, what is the appeal process and what's the likelihood of success?
Well, look, if you're doing anything off a likelihood of success, you wouldn't be doing anything at all, because a lot of cards are always stacked against you in this game. So look, we're going through with it. And as we say to the Minister, Jim O'Callaghan, TD, and we say to his coalition partners in Donegal, Charlie McConnell Ogue and Pat the Cove Gallagher, talk to us. Work with us. We're ready to sit down and make this happen. If there's one piece of documentation you're really thinking of, that's fine. Come see us. We'll get it into you. But as we say, it is very, very clear from our point of view that this is a decision that's made at the top table, and it can also then be overturned at the top table. So our next steps is we need to get this turned over extremely, extremely quickly. Obviously, embassy in Tel Aviv is closed on Fridays for Shabbat, the Jewish holy day. So very, very tight timeline. But again, come talk to us. I'm available all day. You all have our phone numbers and the phone numbers of everyone else in GA Palestine. We're ready to make this work. And again, just want to re-emphasize, this is for 33 children who want to come and experience Ireland and play our national game. Yep. You know, they're booked in for two nights.
Someone makes an interesting point, Cathal, before I go, and I should have actually remembered this myself, because even going back, I think, you know, 20 years ago in my Northwest Radio days, we were chatting to people in Donegal Town who were very active in bringing kids from Chernobyl over here. We've been bringing hundreds and thousands of children from Chernobyl to this country and to Donegal over the years, and this was never an issue. Actually, I'll read that person's text in its entirety, but that's actually a really interesting point. Cathal, thanks for your time.
Thank you very, very much. Right. And if anyone could please listen in, we have a petition on our social media pages as an uplift thing. Please sign it. Contact your TD, contact your councillor, contact anyone of influence, and we really appreciate it. Cormela.
All right, Slán, thanks very much for that. Someone says on Facebook or on YouTube, actually, watching on YouTube, should Highland Radio be impartial to wars, especially wars that have no business in Ireland, and the guests with... Kefieh, Israel has not prevented food from, I should know that word, I can't think of it, has not prevented food from entering Gaza. I'm not talking about the war, I'm talking about humans being killed. I don't think I have to be impartial in relation to that. At the moment, you know, this is one-sided. It's Israel bombing Palestine, and there's, you know, tens of thousands of innocent people being killed. I don't think you have to be impartial in relation to that. If you want to come on and talk about Israel being justified in what they're doing, please feel free to do so. There's one thing I'll be incredibly clear about. What happened on October 7th a couple of years ago was horrendous, absolutely disgusting what happened. The capturing of people and the holding of them, keeping people hostage and what have you, and them dying in captivity, holding onto their bodies, holding onto their hostages is inexcusable. They should be released absolutely immediately. But is it about the release of those hostages, or is it about the destruction of Gaza? Gaza is pretty much gone. We've talked previously from what Israel have actually said. They've said that back Donald Trump is saying move all the people out of Gaza, move them out of Gaza and turn it into a resort. Benjamin Netanyahu stood there and nodded, thinking that's a good idea. So how do you strike a balance in that? You know, say, yeah, actually, to be fair, you should move everybody out of Gaza, move them into Egypt or some other place and make that into a casinos and beachfront properties. Do I say that that's what they should do to be fair and balanced? Come on now. Now, Paul O'Kane's head coach with Letterkenny Rugby Club senior women's team. Good morning to you. Thanks so much for calling up, Paul.
How's things?
It's great. And we also have with us Grace Samati, who's captain of Letterkenny Rugby Club senior women's team. Grace, thank you for calling up.
Thank you.
Really appreciate your time. Right, so Letterkenny Rugby Club is setting up a senior women's rugby team for the first time in two decades, Paul. This is a big deal.
It is a big deal, and it's something that enticed me back down into the club. There's been fantastic work done at underage level now by Collie Farrell and the rest of the youth coaches, Grace being one of the girls that's come through that platform right the way through the Irish level. So there's just a great opportunity now. The club themselves want to grow something pretty special and give an opportunity for women in the area to hopefully eventually grow to All-Ireland League level. That's the aspiration. That's the dream. And when we talked about that at our first meeting on Sunday evening there. So now it's a fantastic opportunity for myself. It's what I do for a living, rugby coaching. So I'm enthused by something new and trying to provide women and girls in the area with an opportunity to play at the top level.
And there is a gap there, Grace, isn't there, for women to compete at the higher level?
Yeah, there is. Like, so far it's been that bridge from the under-18s and the women's age group for the girls, and it's been hard to, like, you know, find, like, teams that'll support that in Ulster. And it's really good to, like, see that, like, the club is back in women's rugby, and it's phenomenal that they're back at it so much, like, so much that we can, you know, compete with the men's and even hopefully get games alongside the men as well. So
yeah,
it's really
exciting. Do you get a sense that there's or do you know there's enough interest there to formulate the team, the squad effectively that would be required?
Oh, absolutely. So many girls have come through that under 18s age group, from my perspective as well. Like, there's so much talent in the girls' side in Letterkenny, and there's so many young girls, like, looking to, like, aspire with a future in rugby. And I just think, like, having this platform of the women's team is just going to be a phenomenal opportunity for girls.
Yeah, and Paul's a bit of catching up to do. If you look at what's happening with Finn Harps and in the soccer realm, and what the GEA are doing as well, you know, the women's game, particularly with the GEA, but I'm not saying more so than Finn Harps, but, you know, the women's game stands there alongside the men's game, certainly in terms of interest, if not crowds.
No, and I think that's what Letterkenny are trying to do. Chris Digamus, he approached me a couple of weeks ago around the idea, covertly I would describe it as. But I think that there is a huge opportunity to provide something tangible, that the girls have an opportunity to play top level. Because I say, my environment on a daily basis is that this is my job, it's my profession. So the club actually going to a point where they've brought in somebody like me to support the girls. Like, you asked a question there a wee second ago, had we, I suppose, the basis to grow a squad? There's around 35, 36 girls within the group at the minute. Of that group, I would think that five or six of them have come through Ulster Pathways. I set up a leadership group yesterday. We will be very young, but very talented. We have an interest now starting to come from outside the game. So we've a young girl from Convoy who's come through, was a county Gaelic footballer, who's wanting to give rugby a go.
Brilliant.
We want to hammer social media. Obviously, we're here today, and just put that, raise a hand.
Yeah, because often, say for instance, in terms of women's boxing, for an example, you know, you have Katie Taylor hit the heights, and then lots of young people started getting involved in boxing, and then they come through to become the next Katie Taylor. It's a little bit different, is it, with rugby, because there's great participation, female participation, already at a younger level. But there wasn't really the senior team to feed into. So it's pushing an open door there, effectively, Paul.
Immensely. And the fact that there's below the senior women's team now, you have a group of around 60 to 70 girls at under 14, 16, 18 level. You now have girls right through down into mini level. So there's a conveyor belt started there. But even beyond that, the fact that Letterkenny have went out and provided probably the best coaching set up for women's rugby in the Northwest, call a spade a spade. You would like to think over a period of time that more talented girls from other areas, clubs, will actually migrate and be attracted into the...
Grace, it's an exciting time to be involved, isn't it, at the start of something? I mean, obviously it would be fantastic if the team had maintained and all that, but it's very exciting for someone like yourself and the other girls to be at the start of something potentially really special.
Yeah, it's really exciting to be a part of this, and I'm just really happy to be appointed this position, you know, and be able to give back to the club, because obviously, like, this club is where I learned to play and I've grown with this club, and I really want to be able to showcase what the club has done for me.
Yeah.
And be able to, like, show that I can bring talent into the club and showcase for girls, like, you know, like, our home is much, like, there's so many opportunities here at home, like, we don't need to go elsewhere for those opportunities, because we have them here now.
Yeah, for sure. And then opportunities maybe beyond, who's to say, because that's you know, true. There's every step is filled now. And were you encouraged at, you know, the training so far and what you're seeing around you, Grace?
Oh yeah, our first session there on Tuesday night was absolutely great. Like, from, like, coming together, a group of girls, some girls haven't even played rugby or picked up a ball before, and just like 20 minutes at the end of the session, we got into some shape and we were looking great.
Right, okay.
And it
cool.
was so encouraging. So,
what, Paul, once the team's established, where do you start? What league do you slot into, or is there, how does that work? You know, I mean.
So, it's like a pyramid structure that you have within Irish rugby. The ultimate goal is All Ireland League, where we play the best teams from around the country. At the minute, we will start in what's called Championship B, with an opportunity come Christmas time to rise into Championship A. That would give us an opportunity to play in Division 2, essentially, of Ulster.
Okay.
Within the space of a matter of months. That would give us an opportunity to start there next season. So within 2 to 3 years, the aim is to get into the Premiership within Ulster, which, with the talent that exists in the group, to be honest, I didn't hold any punches when I said to them that has to be the aspiration.
Yeah, but I mean, and you've done it with the men, so you know what's what, you know what's required.
You just have to feed and give it oxygen. With the men, it was pretty similar. Within the first year, we went from barely having a squad to finishing within the top four in the league, and we won the Gordon West Cup the second year. We got to a Gordon West final, and we got promotion, and the men's team are going from strength to strength.
Mm.
I've kind of spoke with Grace, funny, we were just chatting there now. To a degree, you can rise quicker within the women's game, because there's probably a smaller number of
sides. you potentially can get found out very quickly then too. You have to be ready to go with the big boys.
You've got to be ready, and that's,
so to speak.
We have to prepare now and grow something over the next 2 years to facilitate the other very talented young girls
for
who are coming on.
So often when we talk about women's rugby on the show, and we have quite regularly, you know, it's about participation, tag rugby, come along, have a bit of crack, you know, and all. just to make clear, what we're talking about here is top level sport.
It's performance.
And as I say, I'm only just saying that to, so for listeners who might think it's similar to previous conversations, this is about formulating a women's team to go and compete at the very highest level, which means that if you've got very competitive women who feel a little bit maybe disenfranchised in their own sport or what have you, there's an opportunity potentially here in a short space to be competing in rugby at the top level.
Absolutely. Grace is an Irish international. She's within the Ulster squad. We have other girls that are within or have been within that provincial environment. So any girls, woman that would be interested in getting involved in a performance sport, we would be absolutely delighted to see them down. As I say, we've already had a former County Gaelic footballer come on board. We've a girl that's coming from a handball background, basketball background. We're very much an open book in that regard. We do want to cater for a development level below that. Ultimately, you can't have a top without a bottom and vice versa. So there's girls that arrived the other night who were completely alien to the sport, but within a probably the guts of an error, they were picking it up.
And that's a lot of transferable skills, isn't there? And competitiveness and the will to want to just beat everyone else, even if they're your teammates. That's it, Grace, isn't it? That's you can't train that into someone. I think a sports person has that.
Yeah, as my old youth coach, Colin Farrell, used to say, good people make good rugby players. Yeah. And just like, there's one thing you can't teach, like you can't teach work rate. And some people are just, born to run over people, as Paul said the last day there. this sport is so it's so welcoming to everyone. Like, sure, I never played sport before I picked up rugby. Like, I was so new into it. Like, I still remember my first session.
How quickly did you say, hold on a second, I'm handy at this?
I picked up the sport in 2021.
Yeah.
And I got into the girls' pathway in Ulster in 2022.
See, that's it, and you see it in athletics in this county and in soccer as well to some extent, the more professional sport, outside of the GA sports, we put it like that there. The talent's there. It's just connecting the person with the sport and the coaches. And we've seen, we overachieve, I would argue, in a very positive way, given our population. You know what I mean? We do really well at the top level. Paul, you're shaking your head. I'm not sure if you're agreeing or disagreeing.
Donegal,
you're going to hit me.
Donegal won. No, I actually completely agree.
Yes, I won.
I think Donegal, as I sort of talk about it as a race of people, I think the woman absolutely perfectly suits sport. I said to the girls, I went down and watched the Donegal women's Gaelic team against Galway there down in Lufford the other week, and I couldn't get over the athleticism, the fitness levels, the professionalism.
It's top tier stuff.
It's absolutely top end stuff. So it's just about providing the opportunity, which Letterkenny Rugby Club are now doing for women.
Brilliant stuff. So all women aged over 18 are welcome at the moment. Training. I just feel this is a real opportunity for an ambitious woman here to be part of something really, really special, which is those opportunities don't come often or that often. So how do people get more information?
They can contact any of the social media platforms. My contact details will be available there. Anybody can drop down to any of the sessions. So we're training on a Tuesday from 8 to 9:30, a Friday from 7 to 8:30, a Sunday from 7 to 8:30 in the evening, which was the girls' own decision to go immediately to three evenings a week. We had over 20 at our first session, which, to be honest, is unheard of at most women's sessions across the country.
I can hear Grace saying, go on or go home.
That's true.
And if we're going to do this, we're going to do it.
Exactly.
We're going to provide everything. We've had a squad meet already where we talked around we will tour this year. I think the outlook is that we'll probably tour over to England. So another fantastic opportunity. It's a huge part of the rugby culture day to go and tour and make new friends. And as I say, we really want to put the full back into the club behind this.
Brilliant. And with role models like Grace, but still at the top of her game too, I mean, it's fantastic to have that. Grace, you would encourage people to get involved, of course, if they meet the criteria we've been talking about.
Yeah, of course. In rugby, it's just all it takes is just having that hard working ethic and, being determined. And obviously there's so many lovely girls at the club. Mm. Like, it's such a welcoming team. Yeah.
And there's so many different sort of roles in rugby as well.
That's
too,
true.
Isn't
yeah.
there,
there's
know,
something for
place for everybody.
Yeah,
and
there's
that's,
a place for everyone.
That's what I tried to explain to the girls. There's a place for everybody, and what I want these girls to become are the role models for the younger yeah. girls. Grace is Grace is going to be a nurse. I had a girl came back to rugby the other night who had her who had a baby 5 weeks ago. And she was out in a rugby field 5 weeks later. It's such a cross section of football.
Having
different.
Been around newborns, I can understand. No, but it's amazing return. It's a remaining amazing return,
fantastic.
Isn't it? All right, okay. Paul O'Kane, head coach with Letterkenny Rugby Club senior women's team. Thank you for joining us, Paul. They've got a great person in you because you care and you've got passion and you want to achieve and you've set standards. And I'm a bit like that. I think you should set standards, but then you expect everyone to be at those as well too, because 100%. That's how you know everyone wants to get where you want to go. Grace Amati, captain of Letterkenny Rugby Club senior women's team, continued success with Ulster, the national team, and your career, of course, as well. Just balance all that stuff while you're at it. Both of you, thank you very much. We'll share more details about that on our Facebook page, by the way.